If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
I can't think of a better guest to have on our reboot day, RCR reboot day, Tuesday, the 7th of May. It's a day that goes down in broadcasting history. RCR is back on air. And like I say, I can't think of a better guest to have on this day than Guy Hatchard, Dr. Guy Hatchard, the hatchardreport.com. Guy, great to have you back.
Great to be back, Paul. Lovely to see RCR on the air again.
Thank you. And how are you feeling?
I'm good. I'm, this is exciting times, as always, personally and for the world.
Well, that's good to hear. Though what we're about to talk about is, well, to me, it's a shocker. It's the headline story on the Hatchard Report. I think you published it yesterday. Breaking. The Labor government deliberately gaslit the New Zealand public. What's all this about?
Well, the UK Daily Telegraph has a freedom of information request in the US. And this is... uncovered the fact that in January 2021, the US government shared, quote, gobsmacking intelligence information with its Five Eyes partners. That's the UK, Canada, Australia, and of course, ourselves, New Zealand. And this suggested a very, and again, a quote, very high likelihood that the COVID virus leaked from a Chinese lab. So a meeting of the Five Eyes intelligence sharing nations, including New Zealand representatives, were convened with Mike Pompeo, the U.S. Secretary of State, to discuss the probability of a lab leak. And the U.S. at that meeting warned that China had covered up research on coronaviruses and military involvement at the laboratory in Wuhan.
So, hence bioweapon, right? Military involvement, yes, equals bioweapon.
Yeah, that's an obvious implication that the coronavirus was developed as part of a Chinese bioweapon project. And this information was made available through Five Eyes as early as October 2020 to New Zealand.
And oh, man.
Also, that the... researchers at the lab had become ill shortly before the virus was first recorded nearby in Wuhan. So we're talking here about sort of September or so of 2020. And of 2019. So they were carrying out gain-of-function research at the Institute, and the purpose of the meeting was to warn the New Zealand government that this was going on.
Wait on, wouldn't Mike Pompeo, and he was head of CIA for a while there too, I suppose, wouldn't he know that work or collaboration, there had been collaboration between the likes of Tony Fauci and Peter Daszak, is it? And you know, their association and relationship with the Wuhan lab, they would have known that already.
Well, I don't know. I don't think we do know the exact details of how this money was funneled from the US via Fauci and Peter Daszak to the lab in Wuhan. And did they know about the military involvement in the Chinese?
Well, how could you not? You'd always be suspecting that involvement, wouldn't you, if it was the Chinese?
Possibly.
I would. Immediately, I would. I'm just dumb guy off the street.
It was an extraordinary... I think what was extraordinary about this leak is the fact that our government knew this very early on, and yet they were basically... I mean, in September of 2020, they published a... Te Pūnaha Matatini, which was funded directly from the Prime Minister's department, had published a paper saying that any suggestion that the Chinese government, military, or the lab were involved in the origins of COVID was a xenophobic misinformation and a conspiracy theory, and that such ideas were anti-science and linked, this is a quote again, with conservative political ideology and propaganda. So our government, it basically decided they were going to bury the Five Eyes report, which had landed on their desk.
To associate it with conservative politics, though, is...
It's a big stretch, isn't it? It's the government feathering its own nest.
And yeah, but on the backs potentially of the lives of people.
Absolutely. You know, they were accusing the likes of myself and many others who were actually talking about the origin of COVID with other scientists in other countries and deciding that it definitely was bioengineered. They were basically calling them liars. But it was the government themselves that were lying. Their information was precisely that.
Do you think they actually got that information? There have been cases recently of, you know, crucial information from our security community, I guess you call them, that wasn't passed on to politicians. It was kept from them.
Well, I think a meeting with the U.S. Secretary of State.
Yeah,
is
but
it likely that our government was not aware that this was happening.
Well, we want to know who was in that meeting, really, don't we?
We do. Yeah, absolutely. We need to know because there was a whole chain of events that came out of this. There was the setting up of the disinformation project, which was, again, funded by the government, which was basically an attack on free speech. We had our New Zealand Bill of Rights trashed. The government, by April 2021, the government had in hand the report, the post-marketing report from Pfizer, which detailed hundreds of different types of reactions, adverse effects of the vaccine suffered by tens of thousands of people. And yet they were telling us it was safe and effective, which we now know, of course, it's not.
It seemed to me early on in all of this that not only here, but the American government was pouring cold water on any idea that it could be a lab leak. It was, what's the word, zoonotic origin from what the pangolin and the bat having a love affair or something. I don't know how it went.
Well, Tony Fauci was, because he had a lot to lose, because he was the one funneling the money. He was the one funneling the grant money from NIH off to Wuhan, whether other people in the government knew that, whether that was happening. You've got to realize that the U.S. is a huge government, is a huge, huge organization. And in many cases, one hand doesn't know what the other hand's doing. I mean, I have a friend in the U.S. who's a lawyer, and his firm specializes, he works for the U.S. government, and he specializes in suing other departments of the U.S.
Oh, dear.
So you know, yep. We can't assume that this was control from the highest level. But what we can draw from what you've just said, I think, is that the U.S., it's a trillion-dollar industry, biotechnology, and I don't think they wanted anything coming out that would make biotechnology look risky.
But why would we play the game, do you think?
Why did we play this game?
I mean, how big are we in the bio industry, you know?
Well, you know, perhaps you could put forward the argument that the government panicked because it was a bioweapon and they needed to have a vaccine. But the fact of the matter is that doesn't fit with the timeline, because in April, they knew there were serious problems with the vaccine, that there were serious level of side effects. This was a very, you know, it was 10 times or more more side effects than any other previous vaccine, and they were serious, what's more. So they knew that. So they can't. So why did they introduce the mandates? It happened much later. It happened in later on in 2021. As early as 2020, they had, a considerable amount of information about dangers of biotechnology. Why did they suddenly decide they were going to buy into this big time? I don't know. Ardern, became, she had a trajectory. She became a sort of poster, global poster child for an attack on free speech. Why was she doing this? I think it was a certain amount of fanaticism involved here, and people were not thinking. People were panicking. People all over the world were talking to one another at that sort of highest level of government, and they were feeding on each other's fear and panic and taking decisions which weren't appropriate, which weren't measured, which didn't take account of the already known risks of biotechnology. We already knew in the science that biotechnology, medicines, RNA and so on, mRNA and so on, were risky. That was before the pandemic. That was sort of swept aside. And there was a certain amount of genetic essentialism involved here, that the belief that almost anything can be accomplished by altering genes, that you can become healthy and happy and live a long life and stuff.
That turned out really well.
This was in fact a giant experiment.
Armed with information that it could be, or most likely is a biolab leak, bioweapon, potentially, with military involvement, Chinese military, CCP military involvement. Then, having well in advance information that this has some very bad side effects and consequences right up to death, and you still do it?
Yeah, it's extraordinary. These questions need to be answered. Well, I feel, this is a kind of huge government overreach. And you can go right back to the AIDS epidemic in Africa, where pharmaceutical companies started experimenting with so-called cures on people living in Africa with some very deadly consequences. And along with that, bioweapons programs that experimented on subjects. And the kind of idea grew that it was okay to experiment on people. It
Oh
was
dear.
a real distortion of the
Well, that's
idea.
like Nazis 30s eugenics, isn't it?
Absolutely. It was the same thing. If you have read books on that on that medical experimentation in the Nazi era, that the people thought that they were doing humanity a favor because they might find something out that might be of some use. And that idea has grown, and it's still there. That's an issue now, is that the new government is planning to deregulate biotechnology. They should have learned lessons from the
Well,
pandemic.
it can't happen, can it? It can't happen. That would be totally reckless. Can't happen.
It is already happening. There are literally hundreds of new biotechnology projects starting up in countries all over the world. It's a sort of a gold rush. Everyone rushed to Otago because they thought they might find gold. Well, people are building these labs all over the world because Pfizer made so much profit out of the pandemic that they're hoping that they can do the same. There are new vaccines, and we're not hearing that they're biotech vaccines. We're hearing that, oh, there's a new vaccine for cancer, or there's a new vaccine for flu, or you name it. But we're not hearing actually that a lot of this work is biotech. And biotech means it penetrates the cell membrane and gets into the command control system of the body, which is why it's able to have such broad-ranging effects. It's a principle in science that when you go to finer time and distance scales, you have fewer laws governing a wider range of events. So once you get in that cell membrane, you have the potential to have side effects all over the body in different organ systems and homeostatic systems and so on, and the immune system, because you've gone to that very fine level where everything is more unified. Biotech medicine is going in the wrong direction.
Current government, we've got a prime minister who's been talking about vaccinating kids, right? Recently, we've got a health minister who's a former GP. Surely he's still connected with his GP community. He must be hearing stuff. What do you make of those?
He is hearing that the hospitals are overcrowded, and that people, there are more cancers, there's more heart disease, there's more neurological illness, there's more immune deficiency disorders. He's undoubtedly hearing this. But, you know, he's saying, oh, well, we're going to, you know, put everything right. We have a plan to put everything right.
He doesn't. How could he have a plan?
Oh, he doesn't have a plan. They're going to throw a little bit more money at it. But it's not money that's required. It's intelligence.
Okay. I saw a clip last day or so. Former CNN high-profile journalist presenter Chris Cuomo, I think the brother of the former governor of New York, who sent all the people into rest homes to catch COVID. That's another story. But I remember him at the time being very derisive about unvaccinated people and saying some horrible things. All the quotes are out there. Now, on his own podcast, he's saying, he sort of said sorry, but he's admitted that he's been injured by them.
Well, Dr. Janet Woodcock, longtime leader of the FDA Food and Drug Administration in the U.S., she retired in February. She's just given an interview where she said that many vaccine recipients experienced serious and life-changing reactions. And this is a quote, direct, "I feel bad for those people," said Dr. Woodcock. "I believe their suffering should be acknowledged, that they have real problems and they should be taken seriously. I'm disappointed in myself," she added.
Wow. Okay, wow.
"I did a lot of things that I regret." And that's the head of the FDA. Why aren't we hearing this in New Zealand? Why aren't we hearing some reality?
Well, we are right now, but it's the only place you'll probably hear it at the moment.
We've drawn the wrong conclusions from this pandemic. Biotechnology cannot be contained. It gets passed down through generations. And we've just seen the example of it. We've had 5 years of turmoil that has, you know, it's so far reaching when you start to affect people's fundamental level of health.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Along with the growth of ill health, we've seen the growth of global instability.
Well, we're seeing, I don't know if there's any link to it, we're seeing some pretty bad behavior in society now. Ponsonby Road, Bayfair Shopping Centre, Mount Maunganui. And that's just the last few days. A gun discharged outside Wellington Hospital a few days ago. I saw the cop cars going there myself. Wondered what the hell was going on. This is almost an everyday occurrence. Are people losing the plot, do you think, of it?
Well, the truth is that...
Is there any link to the vaccine is where I'm going?
Yeah, I get that. Well, look, there's a paper I just read where every medicine basically has psychological effects. And because it's such a highly invasive vaccine, then it's certainly having psychological effects. There have been papers published on increases in depression associated with the vaccine. You know, it's another area that's not being researched very much, but something to consider. I was thinking of the event in Ponsonby. Well, look, that's one death, which is very concerning and very, very tragic. But we're talking here of thousands of people.
No, I know that. No, I understand that. Yeah.
We sort of wring our hands over one tragedy, but the thousands of excess deaths that we've had is just a statistic, and the government politicians can just sort of brush it off.
There could be some journalists listening right now, Guy, who out of curiosity tuning in this morning because they didn't think we would be here today, and they kind of want to get their heads around what is the magic ingredient that we have that they don't have. So I haven't seen any reporting of that UK Daily Telegraph story or the Chris Cuomo story or the New York Times story here whatsoever. I would have thought that would have been a lead story, actually. What's your message to journalism in New Zealand, do you think?
Journalism in New Zealand does publish a lot of articles from overseas. Why haven't we seen some of these articles that are coming out? Why this is time to really sort of sharpen your pencils, start to think what's really happening. Stop just publishing these sort of tragic stories of one person coming down with cancer and how awful it is.
I noticed there have been quite a few of those.
Absolutely, there have.
You know, sympathy, sort of tearjerker, almost sort of melodramatic framing of those stories.
Absolutely. You're seeing them every day, aren't we? And they, what you have to do in that situation is you have to work out what's happening in the big picture. You have to work how many more people are coming down with cancer and heart disease and so on than were before. And if you can't ferret that information, then you should be calling the government to release it. It's a time to ask questions. I mean, that's what this New York Times article I just referred to, which and the title of that was "Thousands Believe COVID Vaccines Harmed Them. Is Anyone Listening?" We need to have articles like this. We've had a complete... The government buried this Five Eyes story. They labeled people conspiracy theories. None of that washes anymore. It doesn't make any sense. That you have to come back to what really happened. And, the government, it's a scandal that the government is prosecuting this man who leaked information from the health service. It's an absolute scandal. The man was just an honest man who took some data. He didn't name any individuals. He took some data.
They're angry because they know that it corners them.
Perhaps they are, but... You know, there's a time when you just have to cough up. You just have to come clean.
Ed Dowd told me on this show that, and people will know who he is. He's written a book on excess deaths, I think mainly in the United States. And he said, "Remember Enron? They were in chains and they were still lying."
Yeah, it's an old story, isn't it? Hmm. But sometimes crises come up. And, you just have to change gear. You just have to change gear. We're in a different kind of world now. We entered a different kind of world where basically medical authorities are feeling quite happy with experimenting on, billions of people.
Yeah.
And
that's so scary.
You have to have a different kind of... rationale here. You have to have a different, you can't just be a cog in a wheel, a cog in a machine. You have to actually start to step out of the machine, start to look at what's happening, look at the statistics, draw sensible conclusions from it. That's the moment that's required. You need to, this is a $1 trillion industry. Biotechnology, they're trying to kind of change the whole way the world works. You have to not be swept away by that tide of greed, hoping that...
It's greed at the
bottom
of it. Hoping
that they all make money like Pfizer make money. Like you can't believe how many billions that Pfizer make.
Yeah.
You have to step out of that tsunami, that rushing tide, and start to take a stand, to really look at what went on, look at what's going on now, and start to tell the truth of it. You have to stand up in this situation because the whole world is changing. The whole basis of our health, the whole basis of life, the operation of a cell is being altered deliberately in vast numbers of people. And the media is you're the watchdogs. You are
were,
the,
were who, the watchdogs. Who are the,
yeah, you are, well, RCR is definitely a watchdog.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Same to the media in general. You have to take a stand in the situation. Otherwise, we're all going to get swept off our feet.
Yeah, whether we like it or not. A couple of quick points before we end the chat. Number one, the jabs are still being advertised. How can this go on? This like has to stop like now, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And the only reason that they can go on is because the public's still being gaslighted. The information about what really happened is just being hidden. We need a dose of reality, responsibility, remorse, and remediation.
Can we afford the remediation if it affects so many people? I guess, well, we printed all that money. Well, we didn't. They did. Printed all that money during the thing like it was no problem. I suppose we can print
when it
some
comes
more.
To health, you have to spend what you have to do to preserve your health.
But
know.
They don't care about people's health anymore, Guy. It's obvious.
Well, this is a personal thing. To preserve your health, you have to spend what you have to spend.
Right.
To preserve public health, you have to spend what's necessary to preserve public health. You have to defend public health. The Minister of Health is responsible for defending the health of the whole public. He has to take the necessary steps. And in this case, the first step is to just find out what's going on.
Well, no, surely the first step is to stop the vaccine, the use of this bioweapon. I think I'm confident in saying that now.
Yeah.
And if you don't, then you've got to question everything. I mean, we've been doing that anyway. All right. And have you got anything to say about what you've heard as this inquiry forms up? Any comments to make about that?
I haven't heard anything coming out of that at this point in time. I let's hope that they widen the terms of the inquiry, but this is an inquiry. It'll take months. I think you're absolutely right. What's required now is to stop this vaccine.
But that would be an admission. That's the big high noon moment. Stopping it, isn't it? I mean, that's when everyone has to admit we were wrong, and that's when the fecal matter hits the rotating aircon unit, right?
So much is coming out.
They won't. No one wants that. There's a lot of people who don't want that to happen, I would say.
I think this is something that it's being played out here in New Zealand. It's really startling because everything was hidden here in New Zealand, but it's also happening overseas.
Yep.
It's come out that there were a lot of players behind the scenes who were pushing their own agenda. And clearly that was the case here, that we received this information very early on, and the government decided to sort of completely change the narrative to suit themselves.
I've got this little thing now, I say, the three D's of evil: deception, division, dehumanization. I think we can tick all these boxes on this one.
Absolutely.
Oh, dear. Anyway, Guy, great to hear that you're doing well, and fantastic to have you back on our reboot day.
That's wonderful. I'm loving that you're back here and you're a voice that is raising these issues that have been hidden for so long.
If Reality Check Radio enriches your day in life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and the dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.